Study Bibles are an interesting tool that you can use in personal Bible study, and I've been able over the years to be able to collect a number of different ones. One of them I received from my father. It's a Dakes Study Bible, and that particular Bible is full of written notes by my father. He must have tore that thing apart in study because it's got notes everywhere on all corners of the pages. And but in the Dakes Study Bible, they did some research and they found 222 different prayers in the Bible. It's a really interesting study. Fact of the matter is, you can now find that online. If you go online and say 222 prayers, they have them all lined out for you, and they have them lined out by book. So you can see these are the prayers that they found in the book of Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus. They traced the number of words in those prayers, and they traced whether or not God answered those prayers, which is a really, really interesting, just if you're looking to study on prayer, really interesting. They did not include in that where the Bible says he prayed and the words weren't there, or he inquired of the Lord. Those prayers were not included in this particular study. But 222 prayers in the Bible where the actual words of the prayer were recorded. You know, there are many popular prayers that people pray today, like, Lord, heal me. You ever prayed that prayer? Or prayed that prayer for somebody else, or prayed that prayer for somebody in your family? By the way, that's not a bad prayer, but many pray that prayer, or Lord, help me. Lord, help me in this. Or Lord, bless. Bless our efforts in this ministry, or bless our family, Lord. Thank you for your blessings, but Lord, we ask you to bless. Or Lord, bring judgment upon evil and wickedness. Or Lord, protect us. Or Lord, provide for us. Or Lord, as we pray tonight, bring revival. Bring revival. Popular prayers. Lord, cleanse me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, confound my enemies, as the psalmist prayed. Lord, save me. The tax collector in the New Testament prayed, Lord, be merciful unto me. The thief next to Christ on the cross prayed, Lord, remember me. Lord, deliver me from, and fill in the blank. Lord, I need wisdom and understanding. Certainly Solomon prayed that prayer, didn't he, in the Old Testament. Dake found 176 prayers in the Old Testament and 46 prayers in the New Testament. He traces whether or not God answered those prayers. Prayers that included as many as 571 words when Job prayed in complaint and for relief from what he's dealing with. 571 words to where Jesus prayed to the Father for the deaf man, be opened. Those ears. Two words. Two words Jesus prayed. And the Bible says in the next verse, and he opened his ears. And so, very, very interesting study. Some he answered, some he didn't. Abraham wanted Ishmael to be his heir, so to speak. We read about that in Genesis 17. Did God answer that prayer? Answer, no. He didn't answer that prayer. It was not according to his will. And so he didn't answer that prayer. But Moses prayed for God to heal his sister Miriam of leprosy after she was the complainer, right? And God struck her with leprosy. Moses prayed, and what did God do? God answered that request, and God healed her. There's all kinds of other prayers that we could study tonight. Jabez's prayer to enlarge his coast. You remember that prayer in the book of Chronicles. Jonah's prayer from the belly of the fish. Boy, God can hear you pray from anywhere. Lord, get me out of here. Lord, I was wrong. Lord, you preserve my life. I'll do what you want me to do. Certainly Jonah's prayer. Hezekiah's prayer for deliverance from the Assyrian kings. Christ's prayer of surrender, not my will, but thine be done. Daniel's prayer of forgiveness. Remember when he included himself with the nation and said, we have sinned, Lord. Please forgive us. And then the most popular of all is the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven. In the midst of all of those things, by way of introduction, there are some unique and uncommon, unpopular, or even rare prayers that people prayed in Scripture. And I want to take you through some of them tonight. I think it'll be a refresher to you about prayer. I also think it'll bring some lessons out that we can remember tonight. First of all, in our text, Exodus chapter 32, we see the prayer of an advocate. We see the prayer of an advocate. Israel had sinned. We have the calf incident, worship in this particular text. And so God tells the tribe of Levi to go through the camp and to slay all those that were involved in that sin. 3,000 people later, Moses is speaking to God. Moses, I'm sure, certain, has got ear of this. Maybe he's walked through the camp and heard groanings and hear people crying out at the loss of loved ones that were slain in their own camp. I don't know, but for one reason or another, Moses steps in before God, and he says this in verse number 32, "Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." That's an amazing prayer. The book, Lord, that you have the living in, which is what he was talking about, a book of the living. And there was a book in the Old Testament that is referred to in two or three passages of Scripture that when somebody died, God blotted their name out of that book. It's not the Lamb's Book of Life in the New Testament, so don't confuse these two. But a book of the living, Moses was saying, take my life if you will forgive them. That's a pretty powerful prayer. Moses offered his own life as an atonement for the people, and you don't do that for somebody that you're distant to. You do that for somebody that you love. Where did he get that heart from? Oh, God did the same thing, didn't he? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, we learn from this that Moses, no man could be the true substitute for sin. Because later in this passage, if you're in Exodus chapter 32, look at verse number 31 with me. And Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." I think Moses was afraid here that there were more in the camp that were still ready to be slain. 3,000 had already been slain in the camp for their sin. I believe that Moses thought, there's more, but maybe I can protect them if I will die. By the way, I believe that God heard his prayer, because we don't read of any more slain in the camp on this particular occasion. In fact, we read in verse number 33, "And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of the book. Therefore now go lead the people unto the place which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before me." I learned some things here about Moses' prayer. Number one, I can't fix everybody else's problems. Boy, Moses had a large heart here, and he wanted God to forgive the people, and he would do anything, give his own life. If we're reading right in the text here, he would give his own life that these people receive the forgiveness of God. But Moses couldn't fix it all. Sometimes you and I have to take things to God about others when our heart is big, when our heart is enlarged. Boy, when we want a situation to change, or we want, boy, somebody to be touched, somebody to not have to go through what they're going through, somebody to not have to face the judgment for their choices and all of those things. Boy, it's in our heart, but the best thing to do is go to God. Go to God. By the way, Paul had a similar heart in Romans chapter 9, verse number 3. He said, "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." Or in other words, if they would come to Christ, it would be better for me to be distant from Christ and all of them come to Christ. Paul's saying that. Could God give us that kind of heart for others? That, Lord, I'm so burdened. I'm so burdened for so and so. Lord, the only thing I know to do is to cry out to you, won't you forgive them or won't you intervene? I wonder in your heart tonight if there's somebody like that that God would deepen your burden for. Because I believe that that was an act of God in Moses' life for him to be able to pray that from his heart. I'm not sure too many of us could pray that kind of prayer from our heart. Lord, blot my name out of the book if it means these others being forgiven. Stephen had a similar heart in Acts chapter 7, verse number 59. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Now, he couldn't make that happen, but he could talk to the one who could make it happen. You understand desires sometimes in your heart are driven for your children or driven for a loved one or driven for another brother or sister in the church or a young person. We have great desires, sometimes great burdens that we bear. You know what the best thing to do? Talk to the one that can do something about it. That's what Moses did. He knew where to go with a heavy burden for someone else. Do you know where to go? Would you go there tonight? Rare prayer. Blot my name out, Lord, if it means their forgiveness. Not only do we see the prayer of an advocate tonight, but we also see the prayer of the anxious tonight. In your Bibles, 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter number 19. Moses being our example of the prayer of an advocate, rare prayer in the scriptures. And here's another rare prayer by an anxious man. It's Elijah. On the surface, you wouldn't look at Elijah and think anxious. Prophet, bold, willing to stand up against Ahab, going against 400 prophets of Baal. Bold, strong Elijah. But in 1 Kings 19, verse number 4, boy, it paints the other side of Elijah. The Bible says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. He requested for himself that he might what? Die. And said, it is enough, three words. Fourth word, now. Fifth word, oh. Sixth word, Lord. Last four words, 10-word prayer, take away my life. It is enough. I've hit my breaking point. Now, Lord, the best thing to happen in my life right now is that you take my life. From Elijah? I don't know that he prayed that prayer again in his life. We don't have that prayer recorded a lot. I mean, there's anxious people, but for you to pray to God, now, Lord, take my life? It is enough? Huh. That's kind of shocking. But this prayer reveals to us the weakness of even the strongest. You see believers in our church. You see them here. You see them stable. You see them strong. But hey, don't ever think that everybody's strong all the time. That's not true. That's a false assumption. Okay? Bible talks to Job, and Job's friends talked to him and said, man, you're the one that's encouraged. You're the ones that have been a strength to other people. You're the one that has ministered, and now you're in the place. You're in weakness. Here Elijah was in weakness, and Elijah called out to God, God, it's enough. God, just right now, would you take my life? At the top of Carmel, he feared nothing. Nobody. Now he's afraid of everything. Huh. When we get anxious, we need to be careful how we pray. It's important. There's nothing wrong with pouring your heart out to God. There's nothing wrong with sharing what is going on with God in your heart. Did God answer this prayer? Answer? No, he didn't answer this prayer. I'm reminded of Psalm 31 where the Bible says, our times are in his hand. Now, what happened in this situation? Elijah got rest, number one. So one of his tanks was drained. It's called his physical tank. He had ran a day's journey. He was exhausted. He was facing the pressure of being chased by Jezebel, the threats. He got rest. He got food in this passage. And then what? God gave him another assignment. Boy, there's something to learn there. And that is, when I'm anxious, God knows what's best for me. Rest, food, and assignment. You're anxious tonight, talk to the Lord, but don't ask God to take your life. Instead, understand where you're at. Understand there's some things that are depleted in your life, and take time to get those things built up in your life, and then watch. Look for God's next assignment. God's got an assignment. God wasn't done with Elijah. If you're anxious tonight, if you're miserable tonight, if you're downcast tonight, if you're like Elijah, your tanks are spent, your mental tank, your emotional tank, your physical tank, your spiritual tank. Preacher, they're all running on empty tonight. Then get some rest. Rest helps with everything. And say, Lord, if you're done with me, you're done with me. I prayed with Carl Urey this afternoon on the phone. He said, Pastor, I'm going in tomorrow, and if the Lord takes me, I'm ready. But if he doesn't, then I know he's got me here for other purposes still. Look for assignment. Look for task. Get busy for God. And by the way, he went from there to where? The woman at what? Zarephath? I mean, he just saw fire come down from heaven, but you talk about raising somebody that's dead, that's a different animal. That's a different work of God. That's where Elijah went after the brook, after being anxious, after saying, God, it's enough. Oh, Lord, take my life now, please. And God said, no, I'm going to work with you, Elijah. I got more in store for you. Be encouraged tonight that even if you say the wrong thing in prayer, that God doesn't give up. I'm so thankful about that. But with this also, be aware of abrupt changes in life that go from the mountain peak to the wilderness and the juniper tree, because those do happen in life. Well, preacher, I'm on the mountaintop. That's wonderful. But you know there are wildernesses coming, and there are juniper trees. And understand that as much joy for every high, there are lows, right? And certainly Elijah came off the mountain peak and came into a low. The prayer of an anxious man. We learned some things from Elijah tonight. Thirdly, we see in Isaiah the prayer of availability. Isaiah chapter number 6. We're looking at rare prayers tonight, ones that are not necessarily plastered all over the pages of Scripture. In Isaiah chapter 6, you know this passage well, and we enter into a conversation between God and Isaiah. God and Isaiah. God is asking questions in verse number 8. If you look at Isaiah 6, verse number 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? I think it's interesting when God brought those words or those questions to Isaiah, and when Isaiah heard those words. It was after he saw God as holy, And he cried out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." It was also after his tongue was purged and he said, "Woe." So there's a woe in this passage. There's a lo in this passage. My iniquity is purged. Lo, my iniquity is purged. And there's a go in this passage. It's interesting to me that Isaiah heard God's voice after he got clean. He began to hear God ask the question, "Who will go?" I don't believe that God asked this question in hoping only someone would respond. But I do believe that he asked the question with an intention that Isaiah would hear that question, those questions, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And then we have Isaiah's rare prayer, his response to God in verse number 8, "Then said I, here am I, send me." It was a response to God's question, and I believe that God is still asking those questions today. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? By the way, the word "us" points to the Trinity here, another passage that reveals the God and God, one person, three persons, I should say, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, one God. He's still asking those questions. Isaiah didn't passively say, "Lord, if you want, you can use me." Rather, if we could picture it in a congregation, he said, "Well, who will go for me? Whom shall I send?" "Me, Lord. Lord, here. Lord, me. I know our Sunday school teachers have review questions, right, Miss Connie? In your class, review questions. And at the end of the lesson, they'll give some questions. And what are they looking for? They're either looking for somebody to stand up, or they're looking for the first hand. "Me. I know the answer." I wonder how many times God asked the question, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And there are no hands raised. We know he faced that in Ezekiel chapter 22, because the Bible says in Ezekiel 22, verse 30, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it." Who would be that man, that gap man? The sad commentary of that particular verse is, "And I found none." None. I dare say that God's still asking the question, "Who shall I send? And who will go for us?" But could it be that even in our churches like ours, there's a rare response of, "Here I am, send me"? Doesn't have to be the full-time ministry, though God's still asking that question, I believe. It could be just into a ministry of the church. God's still asking, "But who will go for me?" And I'm asking you this question tonight. Have you prayed a prayer lately to God of availability? "Lord, here am I. Lord, take my life. Send me. I'll go anywhere, I'll be anything, I'll do anything that you want me to do." Have you considered that God might want you doing something different than you're doing right now? You know, God does do those things. He does take us where we're at and kind of starve our desire for it and kind of put, "Boy, I wonder if I could be doing something in my life that would count for eternity more." He does do that. He does separate. He does call out. He does redirect. He does tap on somebody's shoulder and says, "I want you." God's in the business of doing that, folks. God's still asking the question tonight, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And we ought to be a church full of people of rare responses. "Lord, me, here I am. Lord, I'll serve you. Lord, I'll respond. Lord, I'll follow your leading in my life. the prayer of availability. There's a fourth prayer that's a rare prayer. I'm almost done tonight. It is the prayer for admonition. The prayer for admonition. Turn to Psalm 129. Psalm chapter 129. When you think of the word admonition, you think of the word reproof. How many children here, you wake up in the morning and you go to mom and dad and you say, "Mom and dad, if you have any trouble with me any part of the day, I want you to correct me." Like, you can verbally correct me or you can correct me with the paddle, mom and dad, whatever you want to do. But I just want to start off my day by talking to you and saying, if you need to correct me, you correct me. Anybody do that? No hands. I don't understand it. No hands. You know, spiritually speaking, we don't like to be corrected either. But here the psalmist has a rare prayer. Verse 23, you know it well. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." David was willing to say, "Lord, if there's something wrong, tell me about it. Search my heart, search my thoughts, and Lord, if there's anything wrong, would you show it to me?" Now, I believe that that heart was, if you show it to me, I'll correct it. He had a prayer for reproof or admonition. "Lord, if you need to correct, you go right ahead and correct me." That's rare. That's not common. But that was a man that was after God's own heart, praying that. The prayer of admonition. Last week, before our communion service, we took some time for that kind of praying. But do you do that kind of praying beyond that? Beyond communion? Do you ever pray, "Lord, search me? Lord, I want your reproof in my life. God, if I have a blind spot of something that's wrong, Lord, would you reveal it to me? Lord, if there's any wicked way in me," why do we need to pray that? Because our hearts are desperately wicked. And we can't know them, can we? The Bible asks the rhetorical question, "Who can know it?" Meaning nobody can know it. I can't know my own heart. You can't know your heart, by the way. And so, with that, we need God to bring out those wicked ways. And David knew that. There's a rare prayer called the prayer of admonition. And then the last prayer tonight is the prayer of anguish or agony. We turn to Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1, to find a lady in the Bible that came to God broken. Broken means in the Old Testament to be crushed into pieces, shattered, bruised, violated, not functioning properly, disconnected, overwhelmed with sorrow, plundered, desecrated. Anybody been broken before? Hannah's broken in this passage. The Bible says in verse number 10, "And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept." It's very interesting here that she took bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord. A lot of people take bitterness of soul and talk to others. It's rare that somebody takes bitterness in their soul and talks to God about it. She took bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. By the way, she could have easily blamed God for not being able to have a child. She looked around and others were having good life experiences. Penina in her own family was having children. She was having a bad one. Bad experience. Brokenness caused her to look up. I fear that the prayers of brokenness are few and far between anymore before God. I don't know how often people weep before the Lord anymore. They shed tears. They take heavy things, even something that's wrong in their own heart, before the Lord. Her prayers were prayers of agony, and yet she made those prayers to the one, the only one, that could meet her need. And God did. He met Hannah at the point of her brokenness. He heard her whispered prayers. It's evident in 1 Samuel 1 that some prayers she said she couldn't even get vocal sound out. She moved her lips. In fact, Eli thought that she'd been drunk possibly because of the way that she was praying. He heard her prayers expressed in groanings too deep for words and her brokenness. He not only blessed her, but he blessed all generations through her, through the life of Samuel, who was of the lineage of Christ. Her rare prayer of agony of soul and going directly to the Lord about it is an example for all of us. Did you know her name means favored? But for many years in her life, she didn't feel favored. Do you ever know something about God, but it doesn't, you don't sense that part of God in your life right now? That would be Hannah. That would be somebody that is living in agony. And in that time, she didn't run from God, but she ran to God. That's a beautiful picture of somebody that's broken. Run to God. So tonight, five prayers. The prayer of the advocate. Is there somebody you want to help them so much, but you don't know how to help them? There's a problem. It's mammoth in their lives. There's no seeming fix that you can provide. Oh, welcome to Moses' life. But what can you do? Well, you can go to the one that knows what to do. That's what Moses did. He put his own life on the line. Remember that Jesus is the only substitute to bring forgiveness of sins. There's the prayer from an anxious heart. Be careful what you pray when you're anxious. But remember, no matter what you pray, remember that God is willing to work with you. If you're up to here, here's how it comes out in our English language. Preacher, I can't take it anymore. How it comes out. In Elijah's language, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take my life. Rest, that's what God provided for him. Refreshment, that's what God provided for him. And what else? Another assignment. Another assignment. And watch this. One other thing about Elijah. He's praying, Lord, it is enough. Take my life. Watch this. At Zarephath, his next assignment, Lord, give this young man life. He was praying for his own life to be taken, but in the next scenario in his life, what's he praying? He's praying for life to be given. Do you understand things change? Don't stay in the pit. Pray to God. Pray to God. Look for your next assignment. If you're living and you're living here, I've had enough. Look for your next assignment. Be refreshed in the Lord. The prayer of availability, here am I, send me. Before you pray that prayer, you better make sure you're clean. But would you once again tonight, as we start a new year, just by coming to an altar, make a visual to God? God, me. I don't know what this means to you, God, but I'm just making myself available to you. Here am I, Lord. Knowing that God's looking, right? We know that. We know that from the text of Scripture. God's looking. God's asking questions. Who? Would you just put yourself in that place of availability tonight as a prayer and a worship response to God? God, here am I. Send me. Prayer for admonition, search me. God, reprove me if you need to. God, I want to be right at all costs. And then the prayer of agony from a broken heart. Don't run from God in your bitterness of soul. Run to God. Run to God. There was a healing that nobody else could accomplish in Hannah's life. Her husband couldn't bring it. I mean, I'm sure, man, I want you to be able to have a child, honey, but I can't fix that. He couldn't bring healing. He didn't know what to say. Man, you know how this works. There are things that happen in your family you want to fix, but there's some things you can't fix. And it drives you crazy in your soul. We're made to fix things. We're made to help. But he couldn't do that. But there was a God that could bring that. There's a God that could bring that.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.